The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, thank you this morning for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being there. Thank you for this year and how you've been good. And this morning I ask that the wisdom of God that blesses gains expression strongly in this meeting. In the name of Jesus, thank you, because no one single person here would live here the same. We receive revelation in this meeting. We receive understanding and wisdom that comes from you. And I receive utterance. And this morning I believe and I pray that you anoint me to stand in the office of my calling, to bless, to teach, to impact, and our lives be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, let's be seated. Help me look to your left and to your right. And wish your neighbor a very Merry Christmas. I mean what you're saying. Maybe you walk around and wish someone a Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Merry Christmas. It's so good to see you. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was born today. Amen. Okay, so this morning, of course, this is supposed to be one of the shortest services we've ever had, right? But I want to promise you, this is not the shortest message you've heard. It's not the shortest message you've heard. You just be normal. Do you love normal messages? How long is normal? 2 hours is normal, right? Amen. Now, recently I was just meditating over Christmas, the season, you know, and everything, and some things dropped in my heart, and I'm going to share with you from those thoughts. Okay, some things I was just thinking and meditating over the Christmas story, and a couple of things came to my spirit, some lessons to learn from that story, something we celebrate every year. I know we can be so used to a story that we'll begin to miss out, you see, from the lessons found in that story. So I'm just going to share with you what I titled Lessons from Christmas. Hallelujah. Last year I was sharing with you on, thank you, the character of God from the Christmas story. Do you remember that? So I'm just going to share with you lessons from Christmas. Let's see Luke chapter 2. Just for memory's sake, let's refresh our mind. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 20. Let's refresh our mind on the Christmas story. I'm reading the New Living Translation. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. Hallelujah. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he was to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Hallelujah. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heavens. Hallelujah. And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone that had happened, what the angel has said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all this in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flock, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. Hallelujah. Beautiful story about Christmas. Jesus was born. And then the news went round. And this is a popular story we know. And I'm just going to share with you a few things as I meditated over the story again and again. A few things the Lord put in my heart about, you know, Christmas. And things we can just learn as Christmas comes every year. Hallelujah. The first lesson, I wanted to make them five, but there are about seven. So I'll just go over them. There are things that I'll just share as God puts the wisdom in my heart. But then things that you have to meditate upon as you return back. The first thing that we see in the Christmas story is the fact that God loves the world. Hallelujah. God loves the world. The Christmas story is a revelation of the love of God. The fact that God was in heaven. He never needed to come to earth. But for your sake, for my sake, he came to planet earth. And the Bible tells us, John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that the word became flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now what that tells you, you know, I was sharing with you, that was 2 or 3 years ago, how that you could notice how God, who is God, fully divine, who had no need to be mortal, had to take on immortality just because he wanted to save man. Are you following me? He has to take on immortality. He has to take on mortality rather. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that he laid aside his majesty. So that's a demonstration of the love of God. If he wanted to remain God, he would have remained God. He was fully God. He had no need to be man. But because he loved man, he had to come and be born as man. He entered into the womb of a woman. And that's a clear demonstration of the love of God towards the world. That God, I mean God, you know, the problem with a lot of people, you know, I was on Facebook recently, and someone was saying, he was a Muslim. How can you say Jesus is God? How can God enter the womb of a woman? I said, that's the love of God in operation. The fact that he, being God, had to compress himself and reduce himself to our level. To get into the womb of a woman. To be born as man. Just because he wanted to save man. That's the love of God right there. He laid aside his majesty. He laid aside his privileges. He laid aside all that mattered to him. And he entered the womb of a woman. He was born. He didn't drop from heaven. He was born. Glory to God. You know, and all that man would pass through. All that man would go through. You know something? You know, when Mary gave birth to Jesus, do you think Jesus ever weeded on himself? Do you think so? Do you think he ever pooped on himself as a child? Why did he have to go through all of that? He was thinking about you. The reason he had to go through all of that, the reason why God, you know, I was sharing with you the last 2 years, one way to understand, to begin to understand what Jesus went through in God being man, is to think of you being made, you're a human now, But you have to save the world of chickens. And they say you have to reduce yourself to become a chicken to be able to save chickens. This is divinity bringing himself to our level as humans to save us. And that's the love of God in operation. Every time Christmas approaches, it should remind you that God loves you. Are you following me? It should remind you that God loves man. And God loves you personally. He reduced himself, laid aside his majesty. The word became flesh and dwelt among us because he loved us. So we see Jesus, we see Christmas, and we see his love in operation. We see his love in demonstration. We see his love playing out. See, God is love. You know, that's what one of the things I like saying to you all the time is, God will give you cars, God will give you houses, God will give you life. But you see, all those things that God will give you, they are not the true demonstration of his love towards you. The day God agreed to become man, to die for you, that was the day he proved that he loved you. Are you following me, church? God does not need to give you any more thing to prove his love. And that's one thing some of us don't understand. You say, well, if God loves me, why am I passing through this? God already had proven his love towards you a long time ago. How did he prove it? The day Jesus chose to become man. And in case you don't know, I say this all the time to you. Even if you are the only one on earth, Jesus would have still come. He didn't come because we were plenty. He came because he loved you. Are you getting the point? So because he loved us, he came and gave himself for us. And so the first thing we begin to learn from the Christmas story is the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his only son. In giving that his only son, he proved that he loved us. So what are we celebrating today as Christmas? We are celebrating the love of God. Say amen. We are celebrating the love of God. How did he prove that he loved us? He proved his love for us by coming as man. Look at Philippians 2 verses. I've quoted a lot. So I've just read that for you. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Did you come with your voice to church? So I read Philippians 2 verse 6. I read it to you with the King James. Then I read it to the NLT. Glory to God. It said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made, verse 7, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Look at NLT. Look at NLT, Living Translation. He said, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So in Jesus being born as a human being, he took the position of a slave. Are you following me, church? He took the position of a servant, of a slave, because he wanted to save you. And so we begin to learn the love of God in the Christmas story, how that God being God had to become man to save you. If you are still here, say amen. The second lesson we learn from the Christmas story is that God can do all things. God can do all things. God is omnipotent. Hallelujah. It's in the Christmas story that we'll see for the first time and the only time in history that a woman is going to get pregnant without anybody, without having sex, without being married, still a virgin. Are you following me? You know, whenever I think about this, this is one of the biggest, it's not the biggest though, but it's one of the biggest miracles that ever happened in history. Raising the dead is powerful. But you see, the fact that a woman was going to conceive. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 26. How the angel came to the woman and told her she was going to conceive and have a child. Luke 1 verse 26. Glory to God. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Quickly, verse 27. Named Nazareth. Hallelujah. To a virgin named Mary. Okay, I've gone back to King James. The virgin named Mary, go back to NLT. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give you the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." So you see, it was strange. Even Mary, when she heard it, she didn't believe it could happen. How can a virgin carry a child? Hallelujah. I'd like you to see something, friends. When you think about Christmas, think about the miracle. Think about the fact that the God that can make a virgin have a baby in her womb can do anything you're expecting from him. So Christmas is a good season to expect miracles from God. Are you following me this morning? Are you still in church? Good time to expect miracles from God. A woman has never known a man. He said, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." See the next verse. "I'm a virgin." And verse 35, quickly. Are you here? Did you forget yourself? Amen. Glory to God. So how can this happen? She said, "Because I'm still a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So the angel made it clear to her, this will happen by the power of the Holy Ghost. So how is it possible for someone that's never known a man to have a baby? The power of the Holy Ghost. How is it possible for someone that has been sick for 30 years to get healed? The power of the Holy Ghost. Christmas reminds us that there is nothing our God cannot do. And maybe it is an opportunity to encourage someone listening to me this morning that there is actually nothing your God cannot do. Your God is all powerful. That God that could make a woman who has never, you know, thinking about it last night, I was just going over it in my head. Not just was she, did she get pregnant? How did she give birth to the baby? She was a virgin. Medicine has advanced to this point where you begin to do CS and all that. So the virgin, and she had the baby without stress. Are you following me, church? Without stress. There was no complication without stress. In the Christmas story, we see the miracle working power of God. And that's why this morning, if there is anything you're expecting from God, if there's anything you are trusting God for, I'd like you to know God is well able to give it to you. You see, how will it happen? The power of the Holy Ghost. And I met a lot about this a lot last night. I was like, so God can actually do more than. Do you know the point is? Notice when Mary heard that, she didn't believe it. You know why? Because that miracle has never happened in history. It was the first of its kind. What it means is, even the things that you have never seen happen anywhere, our God is well able to do for you. Even the things you've never seen happen anywhere, the miracles you've never heard of, she has never heard of the fact that the woman could carry a baby without being married. Hallelujah. And that's where our God specializes. Hallelujah. See what happened? She told the angel, "How could these things be?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of Most High will overshadow you, so the baby will be born, that will be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Now, see verse 36. Are you looking at your Bible? He said, "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. Are you in verse 37? Let's read together, everybody. Higher. King James said, "Nothing is impossible with God." NLT said, "The word of God will never fail." Never. And I don't know if there's anybody here that is trusting God for a miracle. Please, to reassure your heart again that there is nothing our God cannot do. Nothing. And I've heard this a lot. I've preached it a lot. And I tell you, I believe it today more than I believed it last year. I believe it today more than I believed it yesterday. That our God can do all things. that if there is someone who has a sickness in his or her body, that our God is stretching his hand now to heal that person. That is our God. Hallelujah. That our God can turn the situation around in a couple of minutes. And I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen. I noticed what the angel did. I've shared with you this with you a lot. The angel, watch what the angel did. The angel shared a story with her. The angel said, Elizabeth, your cousin, is now pregnant. Do you know why the angel did that? That's a very instructive thing. Elizabeth is now pregnant. He had to tell her why. You have to believe that this is possible. Because if Mary did not believe that thing was possible, she would not carry the baby. So the angel had to take time to convince her. And that's what I want to tell you. God can do all things, but you have to believe he can do all things. He can fix all things. And notice what Mary said in the next verse. Let it be unto me according to your word. I strongly believe that was the time she took him. Immediately she agrees. I accept. Let it be unto me. The angel went. He left because the miracle has happened. So I want to ask you, do you believe? That's the question. Do you believe that a virgin can carry a child? Maybe you do believe now because you've read it from the Bible. But do you believe that your fees can be paid in a matter of months? Do you believe that someone can move from being very broke to being very wealthy in a matter of months? Do you believe? Even if you've not seen it happen, do you believe? Do you believe that someone that has been sick and been declared incurable can be cured in a matter of minutes by the power of God? Do you believe? That's the question. That's what scripture should remind you of. That with God, nothing is impossible. And I believe with all my heart that if you are trusting God for a miracle here, that supply is here now. I said, that miracle is here now. I said, that miracle is here now. I said, that miracle is here now. Everywhere there was lack, there is now supply. Everywhere there is a need, there is now a supply. That the things you struggle to get are now available for you. If you believe that, let me hear it better. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. They are now available. You have to always believe it. And I tell you something. Always be ready to receive a miracle. I feel like I should have said that to someone. Always be ready. Whether you are in church, you are at home, whether I'm teaching, even if I'm teaching on conduct. That's why I had to start declaring. So that at every point you should be ready to say amen. Are you ready for a miracle? Yes. Are you ready for a miracle? Yes. You know, even as at yesterday, people were still sending me testimonies. I told you this year there are two more miracles waiting for you. There are two more miracles waiting for you this year, this same year. Jobs will still be gotten this year. You will still get a year so you've heard a no this year. Not next year, this very. And you ask why, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And every time you say Happy Christmas, think about the fact that Christmas is one of the biggest miracles in history. I think that the biggest miracle in history is resurrection. The fact that Jesus was on the dead. The second to it is Christmas. The fact that God could compress himself into the womb of a woman who has never known a man. I believe in miracles. Ha ha ha. I believe in miracles. I not only work miracles, I receive miracles. I enjoy miracles. I enjoy miracles. And I believe this with all my heart, that God can give me whatever I want in the shortest possible time. In the shortest possible time. In the shortest possible time. Let me ask you a question. What is the biggest miracle you've heard of? Apart from the Bible. And I've heard some crazy, amazing stories. I've experienced some. I've seen these things happen. I believe in God. I've had a scorpion climb through my skin, all over my body, and it couldn't sting me. I have seen miracles. I get to the point. I've seen miracles. I told you this story. We went to a village. We went to demolish one idol like that. Demolish the idol, poured fuel, poured kerosene, light lit the fire. The fire did not burn. And we prayed by the power of God, the fire began to burn.
I have seen miracles. And there is nothing our God cannot do. I've seen what you might call amazing miracles, and I am ready for much more. And I believe today more than I believed yesterday that God is a miracle worker. Hallelujah. And that's why if you came to this morning and trust God for anything, any supply, any healing for you or for your loved one, that answer is here now. That answer is here now. And you see, I feel an anointing of God for people who need babies. If you know anybody that need a baby and you are believing God for anybody like that, that supply is here now. There are angels going forth from here, giving babies all over this place. Under the sound of my voice, by next year Christmas, if you are believing or anybody you know is believing, that baby is here now. In the name of Jesus. Why? Our God can do all things. Think about it. A woman has never had a child. Has never been with a man. And the baby got in there. Wow. Is that even possible? That is why when you begin to hear of people that are 70 years, I went to pray for a woman. I can't forget this. Sit up for a moment. I want to pray for a woman. I can't forget this. Some years back. And she was weighing her, I don't want to say 70s, but I think her 60s. Let me even tell you how old she was. The person that invited us to come pray was her daughter. She had two daughters. I think you know the story I'm talking about. They had two daughters, only ladies. They didn't have a child, a male child. And this girl, the lady that invited us, she was doing secondary school. She was in her university there. So they were grown. The woman was done giving birth. And the girl came to meet me and said, we don't have a male child. So I began to encourage her. Hallelujah. I told her, well, a child is a child. Hallelujah. My brothers are laughing. I said, a child is a child. It really does not matter whether he's male or female. She told me, no. I am not a man. I am not a man. There's nothing you can do about it. So she convinced us to come to our hometown to come pray for her, for the parents. So when there, you know, I can't forget her visit. It was Udi, local Udi. Yes, Udi, exactly. That was my first time of going to the place. And of course, they gave us Abacha and all that. Glory to God. God is faithful. Glory to God. You know, so we got there. And I saw this woman. When I saw her, my faith went somewhere. So I began to pray about every other thing. Began to pray. After she told me, I have not prayed for my mother to have a child. But I felt, well, thank God I'm not your pastor. You know, when you are the pastor, you are in trouble. If you pray and it did not happen, they will return back and tell you it has not happened. But since I'm a visiting person, I can just pray and escape. So I just prayed. Spoke words, declared. I didn't believe what I was saying. But two stories were ringing in my head. Sarah, Mary. If a woman in her 90s can have a child, and a woman that's never been with a man can have a child, this woman can have a child. And we prayed. And the next thing she took in. Now, it's a family I know very well. Last time I was in Lagos, they came to Lagos Church. Till today, she took in, had that child. If I went and had the child, they now had an issue that the breast milk is that because she's old. I said, that one problem. That is now a child. And a male child, strong one, till today. There is nothing our God cannot do. So if you are trusting God for any answer, let the story of Christmas encourage you. That if a woman could carry a child without being with a man, then there is nothing I ask God for that he cannot do for me. And within the shortest possible time, if only my heart can believe and accept what God has said. So do you believe? So engage his power. Glory to God. This third thing I learned, the third lesson I learned from Christmas, this is getting more interesting, is that Satan will always rise against your vision. Everything God wants to do, Satan will rise against it and will fight it. You know, in Matthew chapter 2, this Christmas story, immediately they heard that a child has been born. Herod heard. And he told the wise men, after going, come and tell me where the child is. Because he wanted to destroy the child. Of course, God intervened. I'm coming to that shortly. And because of that child, Herod had to waste every 2 year old in Israel just to be able to get to that child. Now, and I have to say this to someone, and that's why you must be awake. Amen. That's why you must be strong, because everything you want to do, by the way, I put it in my notes, everything God is interested in, Satan is interested in. Everything God is, if God has put a vision in your heart to do a business, once you kick off, Satan is going to rise against that stuff. And I have to let you know and prepare you ahead of time for it. That once God is interested in your life, expect that the devil will be interested in that same life. And I've shared this with you some time ago. This is why some of you are passing through some serious moments in your life. And that's why you don't let things be. You rise against the devil. Immediately he heard the child has been born, he went. Now some of you think that Stan is so cool. You could just start your business and once you don't disturb him, he's not going to come. He's going to come. He's not a gentleman. Satan is God's opposite. God is calm. Bible tells us the love of God does not insist on its own right. God does not force himself on people. He brings salvation to you, then he begins to convince you to accept the salvation. You know, if you don't want to accept it, he's just going to leave you alone. That's God. That's not the devil. Where you say don't pass, he will trespass. He's a trespasser. I get the point. He's going to trespass into your business, into your affairs. And then he heard the child has been born. He went against that vision. You know, I've shared with you some time ago that the reason for all the crises you see in the Old Testament was Jesus. Do you remember that? Let me just refresh your mind on that. Almost all the crises you see in the Old Testament, immediately the man fell. God came and spoke. That was prophetic. He said, the seed of this woman will bruise your head, the serpent. Now, Satan had heard that prophecy. And he began to look for that seed, to terminate that seed early. And of course, at first he thought maybe that seed was going to be Abel. So he instigated Cain to kill Abel. And lo and behold, it wasn't Abel. He kept looking for that seed. He was listening. You know, Satan, some of you don't know that Satan doesn't know everything. Do you know that? We always think Satan is omniscient. You know, he doesn't know everything. He works by the information you give him. Even when he met the woman, I was trying to convince the woman to eat of that tree. He didn't tell her, this God says she should not eat this tree. He played on her intelligence. The Lord says she should not eat of any of this tree. It was not the woman that told him, oh, look at the tree here. Do you get the point? He didn't know everything. But then, he was looking for that seed. And finally, he found out, okay, this seed will come from Israel. He began to fight Israel. By prophecy, he found out, oh, this seed is going to come from Judah. And he narrowed it down to the house of David. Look at the kind of battles that house of David fought. Go and check everybody in the genealogy of Jesus. They had one issue or the other. Satan was after their life. Because once God is interested in something, Satan is interested in it. Come on, are you following me this morning? And that's why some of the things you are passing through is a pointer to something big in your life. Oh. Are you following me this morning? It's a pointer to something big. And that's why, have you heard things about men of God? When they are growing, you know, people that later grow become very whatever. You see a lot of challenges in their life. Do you observe that? Some of them, you know, in fact, personally, when I was born, for the first 3-4 years of my life, I was dumb. I couldn't talk. Some of you have heard that story before. I couldn't pronounce words. The reason is because once Satan sees that there is something about this life, he goes after it. And some of you, the reason why something's happening in your life is that Satan wants you to quit because he knows you are going somewhere. Boy, you must be strong. Are you listening to me? What I'm running for is diagnosis. That's why what is happening to you is happening to you. He saw, immediately he heard, oh, this devil has been born. Oh, fine, cool. Let's go after him. Let's do everything to go after him. Oh, wise men, come and tell me when he's born. Of course, the guys did not come to tell him. He said, okay, fine. For this child, we are going to kill every... And let me refresh your memory. This has happened 2 times in history. Do you remember the first time? What was the first time? When Moses was born. Immediately Moses was born. Do you remember that period? Before Moses came, Pharaoh said, kill every 2-year-old down in Israel. They were targeting that child, Moses. But the way God protects the vision is powerful. Are you following me this morning? Why would you kill every 2-year-old child? There was a person that was targeted. It was Moses. Because this was the deliverer. There are two major people in the history, in religious history that you don't play with. One is Moses, the other is Jesus. The law came by Moses. You remember? Grace and truth came by Jesus. So when each of them was going to come, they had to kill every child from 2 years old down to be able to terminate their lives. Are you in church this morning at all? And so when God puts a vision in your heart, don't think Satan is just going to say, oh well, he loves God, he wants to do it, let's just leave him alone. He will come against that vision. He will come against that business. He will come against that church. He will come against that ministry. And that's why if you have a vision from God, you must be a person of prayer. You see, if your church is a church that is in God's agenda, you must be the church must be a praying church. But Satan will rise against that church to bring it down. That is a baby about to be born. Let me show you something. What happened during the birth of Jesus in the spirit? Revelation 12. I've shared this with you a couple of times. Revelation 12. What happened in the spirit was about to be born. In the physical, we see Herod was all over the place trying to kill every child below 2. They were targeting the child. In Revelation chapter 12, from verse 1, glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Watch closely. This was in the spirit. A woman, you know, in studying Revelation, you need to realize some events are not events that will happen in the future. Some events in Revelation happened actually in the past. Do you remember when I taught you on, what was that? Decoding Revelation, yeah, remember? There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Continue. Look at verse 2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth. Now, this was Mary in the spirit. Pained to be delivered, so she was about to give birth. This was happening in the spirit, way before Jesus was even born. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So as the woman was about to deliver, in the spirit there was a dragon standing in front. That dragon now manifested as Herod. Who is following me this morning? There was a dragon in the spirit, waiting that as far as this child is born, we'll take him down. You see what happened when Nehemiah went to build the temple? Sambalat and Tobias. Do you remember that? They went against. Every time there is something God wants to do, Satan gets interested. Hallelujah. Waiting to devour the child. Look at verse 5. And she brought forth a man child. Well, I'm coming to this shortly, but let's stop here for now. Waiting to devour the child as soon as it was born. And that's why if your life is in prophecy, then you must take your life seriously. Because in Christmas, we see how the child was born and how Satan fought everything to take that child down. Everything. Did everything to take that child down. And that's why if you're going through one challenge or the other in your life today, it doesn't actually sometimes mean that God is not with you. Sometimes it's a point that God is actually with you. Come on, are you following me? That is what is bringing all those stuff. They want to terminate. And as I want to talk to you, some parents here, once you have a child and you notice early that the hand of God is upon that child, be very careful. Stir up your prayer altar. Stay with that child in prayer, because once God is interested there, Satan will be. So immediately Jesus was born, notice the dragon was waiting for the child to be born. So even before the vision had come, the dragon was waiting. Immediately he came. Now, see, she brought forth a male child and all that, who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. That's Jesus. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. How did this happen in the physical? Take the child and run to Egypt. Are you following me? And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for God.
And they should feed that, you know, and all that story. Now you find out, so Satan fought what God wanted to do. But thank God for the power of God. Hallelujah. And that takes me to the fourth lesson I learned from Christmas, is the fact that God protects. And someone needs to hear this. God is a protector. And if there is a time we need the message of safety and God's protection in Nigeria, it is now. Where it looks like everybody, if you are traveling on the road, you are afraid. If you are about to come out from your house, you are scared. But Christmas should be a reminder to you of the fact that God is a protector. How do we even know that? Immediately they gave birth to the child. First, look at all the steps he took to protect. He went to those wise men and told them, don't go back to Herod. So that is protection by divine leading. Where he will put it in your heart and say, my son, don't pass there. Don't enter that vehicle. Who is following me this morning? Don't invest in that stuff. Don't talk to that guy. That guy that is relating with you, he's not your friend. Stop flowing with him. There is that protection. And I'm praying for you that at every time, your ears will be open to hear God. Because that is one major way God protects. He puts a word in your head and says, guy, don't go there. And I've seen God save me many times from such things. Stay away from that guy. And I've seen it happen. Stay away from that guy. You know what? Before I got saved, one of the things that almost destroyed my life was friends. One yeah boy that I don't know where they brought him. The guy was just... He came to awaken the devil in me. He just mentioned, was telling me of how he's a bad boy. And personally, I don't like being intimidated. So I told him, I'm a badder boy than you. And we are competing for who was more bad. I told him, he said, you know, we used to arrange to collect people's phone. I said, you see that range? Me, they collect phone. And I've not collected any. Which hand? I've never seen gun in my life. Like, that, as at that time, I've never seen gun. It's only in film. But I was telling this guy, they shoot gun now. How did he even believe me? And I was in secondary school, SS1. And he believed me totally. And then he now told me, you know the story now. One day we are now going out, he now told me, we now saw one girl come. He now said, let's collect this girl's phone. And I was already finished bragging that. As I'm being the boss. So he said, let's collect this girl's phone. I didn't know how to back out. I said, it's fine, let's go. I was like, hey, come here. And she started running. I started pushing her. And then I took the first and the second steps like I heard my father's voice. And I stopped. I said, guy, come back. Yeah, we are doing small children. I leave this. In which point, you don't even get a better phone. And the guy told me, he said, my elder brother is that in this cult. So next week, we'll meet. Let's meet him today. We actually met the brother. Next week, we'll go and blend. Amen. I said, fine. We fixed the date. And it was approaching. The date was coming. To go and blend. And Jesus intercepted me. Glory to God. And one of the ways he did that was, stop following that boy. Now, you see, there are things that God separates you from to keep you safe. That's why, let me tell you, every time God gives you an instruction to your spirit man, it is for your safety. And ignore it at your own expense. It's for your safety. Some places says don't go. It's for your safety. If you listen to God, how do you explain that? One person will be inside a mall and then hears a voice and steps out of that mall. In 5 seconds later, there is a bomb blast. There is some other person that entered that mall just 5 seconds before. There was a bomb blast. I get the point. One was paying attention, the other was not. So you see, the first year God protected that child, divine leading. God goes extra mile to protect. So he told them, see, don't go back. Then he went further to meet Mary and Joseph. Take this child and run. Do you know, he told them, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. He told them to run with that child even before Herod gave the decree. In fact, even before Herod thought of giving that decree. Because Herod was still waiting for the wise men to come back. He told them, take this child and run. Herod will do something.
God is always ahead of the devil. Always. Say, take the child and run. So even before Herod ever reasoned that, okay, I'm just going to do something now. I'm going to kill everybody. The child was in Egypt. And when God tells you to run, run. You know, some of you don't realize that God's protection does not come in one way. God's protection is not always that they shot you and it didn't enter. That's God's protection. But you see that thing that entered your leg to take off, it's still God's protection. So he told them, take the child and run. That's how God protects. Elijah was in trouble. Elisha rather was in trouble. And they surrounded them. And he didn't run. He told God, open the eye of this my servant so that he will see the angels surrounding us. So they were in trouble. They didn't run. Safety. That is God's deliverance and protection. Do you understand? Jesus was also in that. Sometimes they'll come to catch him. He would just be there. They couldn't get near to him. That was God's protection. But you see this one we just read now. It's still God's protection. Take this child. Run. Has God ever told you to run? I've seen it. Son, run. When God says run, don't tell Jesus, don't say, Lord, are you not mighty, this king of... Run! What he says. Stop explaining to him. He said, he that has let the secrets of the Most High. In that secret place, be running inside the secret place. But the beautiful thing is, God goes the extra mile to protect us. He can do anything. You know, recently I was praying and I told God, see, even when I will not hear, drag me. When I will not take the step, force me. Change my will. I give you the will. Drag me. God can keep you safe. And he did everything to keep that child safe. That child safe. Kept that child safe. Everything. He used everything to protect that child. And someone needs to hear it at this point. That there is safety in God. Someone needs to hear it at this point. That there is a place called the secret place of the Most High. That they that run into it will be safe. Hallelujah. There is a place called God's pavilion. That when he hides you in that place, nothing can hurt you. Nothing. And you need to know it. And listen to me. I was saying that Zoe, if there is a time you need a revelation of God's safety more, it is now. It's not even safe to fly again. It's not safe to drive. It's not safe to trek. It's not safe to be anywhere now. The only place we have safety now is in his secret place. And if you have this revelation, you can rest. Look at what happened in this story. Go to verse 5. This is Revelation 12. Go to verse 5. That immediately they came for Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In verse 5, he said, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child, immediately she was born. Notice the dragon was waiting for the child to be born. But when the child was born, her child was called up unto God. God will always come through. And the woman herself was dragged to the wilderness where she was kept safe. All this in the spirit. So that tells you that that run they were running in the physical, running to Egypt, had already been concluded in the realm of the spirit. Are you getting the point? In the spirit, God took that child up to him. In the physical, they were running to Egypt. So safety is not in Egypt, it's in God. Hi, are you following me this morning? It's in God. So in the physical, how did you escape, Jesus? We ran and ran into Egypt. In the spiritual, how did you escape? The child was caught up to God. It is God that keeps us safe. The reason you are still alive is not because you drove very well and you dodged the accident. God kept you safe. And I wish you realize that. I wish you acknowledge that. That God is the one that keeps us safe. And God has the capacity to keep you safe. Psalm 91. Hallelujah. We learn from the story of Christmas that God protects. And I want to encourage someone with that. Now, every time you think of Christmas, think of how God protected that child. And always remember that he will protect you. He will go all the way to protect you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Is that your testimony? Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That's a good place to say amen. And from the noisome pestilence, he shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flyeth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. You know, I share this with you during echoes. And 10,000 at thy right side. It shall not come nigh thee. Do you understand the point? It means I'm sharing with that echoes. 1,000 falls this way. 10,000 this way. In other words, now, we are not praying for bad things to happen. But what the psalmist is saying is, bad things can be happening to 11,000 people around you, and you'll be safe. Come on, you're following. 10,000 collapse here. 1,000 collapse here. In the middle, you are fine. It's no coincidence. It is no coincidence. It's where we are. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. So that is a place we run into. Is the name of the Lord. Ah, yeah. You're not following me. He said, so how do you run into that name? Have you forgotten? He said, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. He said, when you go, they say, you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So he said, when we get saved, we are baptized, immersed in the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So when I came into Christ, I was immersed into the name of Christ. Are you following me, George? It's a strong tower. Look at it. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. 10,000 at thy right side. It shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. Say amen. Let me read that again. I say, there shall no evil befall thee. Let me read that again. There shall no evil befall thee. I say again, there shall no evil befall thee. So no hurts, no harm, no shame. No hurt, no harm, no shame. No hurt, no harm, no shame. Do you believe those words? No shame, no hurt, no evil shall befall me. If that was a fall at my right, then that's at my left, and they shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold the reward of the wicked. Glory to God. Listen to what he's saying. You will not be a victim of circumstance. That's what he's saying. You will not be a victim. They said there was an accident. Everybody survived. Only one person died. Why should it be you? It should be everybody survived. Everybody died. One person survived. And that's you. No. Why are you always the ones that bad things happen to? I had a daughter of mine then. Any time. Like, I called her one. I said, I'm going to pray for you. Once there is a problem, she's the victim. What, even if the whole class, they say, oh, the shotgun mistakenly hit one person, it must be her. I'm very serious. If they say, oh, everybody passes, only one person failed, it must be her. That everybody's script, they fall, they're looking for one person's script, it must be her script. Well, I'm telling you a very real life story. After she calls, I said, after she calls, I said, who else did this happen to? She said, it's just me. I said, wow. And after some time, I observed the pattern. Now, I'm not a very superstitious person. If you know me very well, I don't believe in superstition. But I observed the pattern for some time. I said, come. Something is lacking in your life. It's the Father's blessing. So I say, go meet your father. Let him pray for your biological father if he's still alive. And of course, it happened that she was having an issue with her dad. And the man even spoke some negative words to her and placed on the curse. I say, that's what is happening. Now, if your biological father will not do it, I will be your Moses. Come. And will put this upon her. Listen, let me tell you something. It cannot be me that will be the victim. You get the point? It can't be me. Every that God doesn't do evil. But what we are saying is that when Satan does the evil, I will be exempted. Do you remember that prayer? Mercy will exempt me. Higher. Do you remember that? Mercy will exempt me. If it is bad, mercy will exempt me. That's what happened to Jesus. So they killed every child under two. Only one was alive. So the guy didn't have age mates. He didn't have age grade. They killed everybody under two. I get to the point. Every child in Israel went down on that too. Only one person was alive. Moses, same thing. Every child in Israel went down. Only one person was alive. And that is God's mercy. That is God's miracle. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see. See now for a moment the reward of the wicked. Say, because that has meant the Lord, which is my refuge, the Lord thy habitation, no evil shall befall thee. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands. And all that, if you look at the whole story. So you notice, in Christmas, we start to reminisce and think about how God went the extra mile to keep Jesus safe at birth. And how God will keep you safe with everything he has. I said, he will go the extra mile to keep you safe. No, one of our dear ones shared the testimony. I've shared it here before. That the last time, as a very unfortunate incident, the country is in a bad state, but God is our help. Hallelujah. You know, the last time they kidnapped some people along this Edogun Skaro, you heard all those stories that happened. He was in a vehicle, and while they were going, somehow a vehicle spoiled and blocked their way. And their driver was shouting. Another jeep just came and maneuvered his way and passed. His driver tried to maneuver their way. They couldn't maneuver their way, and they stayed there. By the time they got in front, that whole kidnap has happened. They saw exactly that jeep that maneuvered their way to pass. It was kidnapped to park there. So they would have been the victims. He told me, he was shocked. He couldn't move for some time. But he was panicking. And I said, I believe that it was because of you that bus was kept safe. He said, why do you think you are that special? Well, God told Paul in Acts 27. He said that I've given you the life of everybody in this ship. So God can, because of one person, keep the entire ship safe. And that one person is me. Are you getting the point? And I want to say to somebody, I don't care what is happening around you. Stop expecting evil to happen. Stop expecting that something will go wrong. When you are traveling, stop expecting an accident. Stop expecting that your car will break down. Stop expecting, what if kidnappers? Why are you always talking about kidnappers? What if there are no kidnappers? Hallelujah. Say, I'm safe. Say, I'm safe. So God can keep you safe. This altar, this one is, we have bandits doing whatever in this country. This one was the king that gave an instruction that every child should be killed. Yet, even by the instruction of the king, God still kept Jesus safe. You see the funny thing about Moses' own? The king that gave the order for Moses to be killed, for every child to be killed, was the one that now took Moses in and was protecting him in his palace. Are you following me this morning? It was the daughter that went to bring Moses and kept Moses safe. When God wants to protect, he goes the extra mile. And I'd like to know, tell someone, God wants to protect you. And you go the extra mile. Let there be no fear this season. No matter what you hear, let there be no fear. No fear. I say no fear.
No fear.
Say no fear. Sometimes you are thinking about, well, the bad things that have happened to me, I wish you know how much Satan planned that thing will go. It was God that kept that where it is. I get the point. You see, I was moving the other day and then I hit my leg on stone. Satan wanted that leg cut off. You see, I was going the other day and then they took my phone. He wanted to take your life actually. I follow me this morning. It was your life he was after. But God preserved you. And he will always preserve you. Let me tell you, if God has left me and allowed me to stay in this country, I will not be destroyed by the challenges of Nigeria. I will rule this land. Now I'm praying that next year we're going to get a good leader. Say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
And you are going to vote and Nigeria will be fine. Say amen. But you see, I'm not praying for Nigeria to get a good leader because I'm afraid. That's why I tell some of you that want to vote the wrong leaders, you are doing yourself. I will be fine. You are doing yourself totally. I will be fine. Any day God thinks this country is no more good for me, he will tell me and I will go. If I'm here, I'll be fine. It's not fear.
I get to the point.
If dollar gets to 2,000, we'll have so much of it.
I follow me this morning.
God can go the extra mile to protect you.
So I believe.
So I believe.
So the reason we're asking, talking about this is not because we are afraid.
So God went the extra mile to protect that child. The child Jesus.
So we've seen how many things now? How many things now?
Four. I'll say three more things. The fifth thing you learn from the Christmas story, as I was meditating upon this last night, and this will bless a couple of you that are into business and all that, is that great things start very small.
You know, I was thinking about the part where the Bible said that Jesus was born in a manger.
In a manger. That's the savior of the world.
I get to the point.
That's the savior of the world. That is the one that changed the course of history. He was born in a manger.
Luke 2 verse 7.
There was no space in the inn. He was born in a manger.
Glory to God.
Was born in a manger. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
I know, I feel like I just highlighted this to say to someone
that whatever God has put in your hands to do, no matter how small it is looking, believe in it and put in your best. Because who would have thought that that little child, you know, if you had been asked to describe where Jesus should be born, you would think of a very exotic place, but then he was born in a manger. The Bible tells us in Matthew, I guess Matthew chapter 13, so Luke 13 rather, verse 18, that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, that when a man plants it in the ground, it grows and becomes a giant tree. And that's how God does his things. I tell you, everything God does must be global. But it starts locally. And that's why if you're someone that does not believe in small things, you don't know God. God starts his things in very small ways. Some of you that God has put ideas in your heart to do a business, to start a ministry and all that, he will lead you to start in a very small way. And if you cannot believe in that very small thing, then you really don't know God very well. He started the biggest event in history, which is the birth of Jesus, in a very small way, in a very negligible village, Bethlehem, in a manger. So that which God has put in your heart and is looking very small and very negligible now, if you can put your faith in that thing and believe in it and commit to it, it will rise and it will grow. That's why I say to people today, you know, platform of grace is, we are not everywhere yet, but at least today you can see a few hundreds gather. Apart from that, today's Christmas service. But you see, this is not the time why I celebrate people. There was a time when it was just two people. There was a time it was just three people. There were people that dared to believe that this was the hand of God. And I tell you, if you are running anything that is small, and you find one or two people who believe in that thing when it is still small, don't let them go. Those guys know the heart of God. They understand it. It is very easy to believe when we are 1,000 persons. It's very easy to believe when there is air condition and we are covering the whole world. When there are 10,000 people, who will doubt Bishop Adebayo's calling? You can't doubt it. You can't doubt Pastor Adebayo's calling.
I get to the point.
You can't doubt that Dangote is a big company. You can't, because you are seeing it. But you see, at that small level, it's easy to doubt it. As some of you, the reason why you are not here yet where God wants you to be is because even in your own heart, you do not believe what God has put in your heart because it's looking small. Everything of God starts small, but it doesn't remain small. The biggest miracle, one of the biggest miracles in history, which is the birth of Jesus, the coming of Jesus to save the world, started in a very small way. Something you could neglect, something you should not take serious. Who would have thought that that child in a manger, that small child, is the savior of the world like Messiah. You now see why the Jews did not believe. Are you following the point? This is why they didn't believe. Because he was looking too small. Next year is coming. You have big visions. And I encourage you to have great visions. But your great visions might start in a very small way. Still believe in it. I just want to drop that. Still believe in it. Still believe in it. The kingdom of God is like, kingdom of heaven is like a man. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. And it's green and watched a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the price of it. That it always starts like a mustard seed. Like a seed. Like a small thing. Like something you can even ignore. But if it is of God, it will not remain small. Please follow me this morning. If it is of God, it will grow, it will rise, it will spread. If it is of God. And I want to say to somebody, that which God has put in your heart is possible. It's starting small, but it will not end small. It won't end small. And one of my greatest joy as a pastor, you know, and I'm saying this because I've pastored for just few years. One of my greatest joy is watching people grow. Watching them grow in the diversity. You see people start in a very small way. You can even insult them. 2-3 years, their lives are totally different. You see people start a small business. My joy as a pastor is being part of the process. Being there when it all started. Watching it grow. And in 5 years time, you are wondering, wow, this guy is all over the place. But you watch the process. You watch the process. I've seen people coming to church. They can't even pray. But that's how the things of God starts. The guy can't pray. Can't read his Bible. It's just that small way. Then you begin to nurture. And that's what I'm going to say the next thing I learned from Christmas. The fact that God believes in process. And this blessing, Jamal was the last night. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say the last night we close. Have you been blessed? God believes in process. God is the God of process. You know why? How this changed my life? Blessed me last night. You know, if God wanted Jesus to drop from heaven, he would have dropped as a 33-year-old man, fully ready. He allowed him to be born and went through the whole process from 1 month to 2 months to 10 months to 1 year to 3 years to 5 years to 7 years to 10. He grew. And that's why the reason why a lot of our young people in our generation are even involving in crime today, because they don't believe in processes. We just want to suddenly appear and have 100 million. That is a process to everything. Are you listening to me? Christmas will show you how God is a God of process through and through. Through and through. He would have just allowed Jesus to just appear. And at 33, he just appear and say, well, I'm the Messiah. It's time to die. You know, if he had come that way, it would have been easier to believe him. Don't you think so? Imagine the whole Israel was gathered one day and Jesus was just descending from heaven. He descended and landed. When he landed, everywhere shook. Earthquake. I said, I have come. Where are all these sick people? But you see, God does not work things like that. He doesn't. He starts in a small way and he wants you to trust the process. He's not going to want to give you a ministry to run and then he will drop 10,000 people to your hands once. The problem is, even if he does that, you don't have capacity to handle those people. And let me tell you what they will be. They will be a useless crowd. Not that there are crowds that churches serve that are useless crowds. A crowd that is not trained. You see a kind of crowd of 1,000 people, they can't pray. If you say, let's pray for 3 hours, they got drawn out of gas. They don't know the Bible. I get the point. They don't know the Bible. They can't explain John 3:16. They see cockroach. They are fidgeting. That's a useless crowd. It takes a process to run a strong thing. Any strong thing God wants to do. Are you following me? It takes a process. There's a process of discipleship. Like next year, we're going to do a lot of discipleship here next year. Say amen. There's a process of training. You don't just suddenly grow and become a man of God. There's a process. There's mentorship. There's discipleship. That is a process. That is what God believes. That's how God does his things. So when he brought Jesus, Jesus did not suddenly appear as a 33-year-old man. The first Adam came like that. He failed. Then the first Adam came when he was already a man. The last Adam, which is Jesus, had to come as a child and grew gradually. And then he grew. And that's what I want to say something to you, friends. If there is anything, you have a business in your hand. It's not doing so well. It's not covering everywhere yet. Believe in that process and walk through the process. And I was sharing with my brother recently. That was 2 days ago. I told him, I said, I strongly believe that there is a time for everything. Every ministry has its season. Every church has its season. Every business, every man, even as a man, there is a season for you. And that season is going to come. Now, hear this very well. The problem we have is, we don't want the process. We want to jump. I've taught you here many times. You swell up, you come down. You grow up, you stay up. Are you paying attention? Now, look at how the process, the season works. If this is, that is harvest season, there's a time to harvest cassava. If you go harvest that cassava ahead of time, you come out with some sticks. Some sticks. Now, but the problem is, before that harvest time comes, you are not also expected to cross your leg and say, well, my harvest time is coming until my season comes. If you do that, when it's time to harvest, you still harvest nothing. So what should you be doing? Be planting. Be weeding. Irrigating. I get to the point. Continue. Have you know some of you that worked with us in this church when we started? Do you notice that there was a time when we were doing evangelism, doing everything we are doing now, and yes, nothing was happening? Like, we are praying, doing evangelism, reaching out, everything we are doing, and nothing was happening. Remember the day it was Starose and UD that came that day, you know, after service. How many were in that service? No, I think we are 4 or 5. So I just finished and we are coming out of the venue. Our beautiful venue. Say amen. Coming out of beautiful venue. And they met me. They were looking somehow. So I said, what is it? Are you fine? He said, no, I'm fine. I said, boy, you don't look fine. Talk to me. What is it? He said, Papa, nothing is happening. We are not growing. Nobody is coming. And they were crying, though, like serious cry. You know, and I just told them, don't worry, everything will be fine. And I went home and told God, see God, I have to settle this one up for all. I began to pray. Now, whenever you hear me share this story, you would have thought that after I prayed that day, I came back the next day, there was no multiplication. I just prayed and God encouraged my heart. And he told me, I sent you. Everything will be fine. I believe in process. There is a process. Financial breakthrough, there is a process. Our you know, that's why I was sharing with you guys. You see a boy of 17 years in Nigeria, he wants to drive Benz. It's a crazy system that wants to jump the process. That guy should be in SS3O. It's a crazy system. I'm not saying you cannot make it fast. But at least, if you make it fast, there should be a process. As some of you are in your process, don't feel bad. Don't jump out. Don't jump the gun. Just stay. Make sure you are doing something. I taught you, was it four weeks ago, on faith and patience. Do you remember that? Faith and patience. Patience does not mean that you are just sitting down saying, oh, I'm waiting for God. Patience means you are constantly doing the same thing you are doing. Constantly. It will bear fruit. So Jesus did not get angry. God, why did you send me as a small boy? You have sent me as a 30-year-old man. Let me start miracle immediately. The man stayed. At 12, he went to the temple. He did a thing or two. He came back. Bible said he followed his parents back. He stayed. In fact, by 30, the mother said, help these people. And he told the mom, my time has not yet come. He knows the process. Are you following me this morning? He knows there was a process. He knew there was a process. That's why God puts a vision in your heart to run a church. He said, I want to run a church. He said, oh, thank you, Jesus. We move. You will meet your end. Because you're not even prepared for the thing. I've seen this happen all over the place. I shared with you the other time. You remember Hazel? The story of Hazel. Hazel, you are going to be king. He said, what is left? He went and killed the current king. There is a process. You see the difference, David. You are going to be king. At 17, the man already slew Goliath. But you still knew that does not mean anything. It was still a process. Please follow me. Miracles are not even a proof that your time has come. Are you getting me? Follow the process. Whatever you're doing, you want to go to school, you don't suddenly go there and say, give me a certificate. You must do 4 years. Or 7 years as the case may be. Or 15. Depending on when ASUU strike released you, you must do something. But there is a process. Say amen. So we learn in the birth of Jesus, in the story of Christmas, how that Jesus came as a child. Because God did not want to rush anything. He wanted to pass through that process. You see, you are the one in a hurry, not God. People say, oh, our souls are perishing. We have to be in a hurry. Right? I've told you something. Urgency does not demand hastiness. It demands diligence. If you feel there is, so this has to be done very quickly. Be diligent. Doesn't mean you must be hasty. Because most times, being hasty is foolishness. Being in a haste is foolishness. It's foolishness. So, God wanted to save the world. He was so much in a, he wanted the world to be saved. But he could spare to wait for 33 years for Jesus to grow up. Who is in church this morning? Are you following me? You need to learn it. You need to learn. He had to wait for the man to grow up. He had, I have 33 years to wait for you. I've been waiting for the past 4,000 years. I can wait an extra 33 years. And when you are done with the process, you come out strong. That's why some of these guys that are even in a hurry, they finally make the money. They lose it in 2 years. They were never prepared for that money they got. We call it money misread. Do you understand? Have you not seen some guys, Yahoo boys, they do whatever they do. They got all the money. They spray it all over the place. The reason they're spraying their money like that is because they're not even ready for the money. When you get your money, you will not spray it. Don't worry. See, the reason you can just come one place, spray a million, you are not ready. You pass through the process, you get the money, you are not giving anybody. Now, begging you, say, don't worry. Now, who was I listening to? One of these guys, one of these evil rich guys. This guy is not educated. What's his name again? Koscharis. He will tell you, I don't give anybody my money. You make the money, you keep it well. Do you know there is a process that prepares you to sustain wealth? That is why children of the rich, some of them don't know how to manage their parents' money because they are not even ready for the money in the first place. The guy receives 10 billion naira as investment.
There's a free flow of the spirit in this place. Make sure you're praying all over this place. Ekramadala barakola bonza fratea. Eloro bonza fratea baradash. Eko baladaya barabasoka la baradia. Elakadada la proba shida la basobrania. E babosa baragatola la basandia. When I pass you out against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. I was standing here.
Only because you made a way.
Yeah. yes, yes, yes.
And they know that he becomes over. You perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And I stand with you only because you
move.
You move mountains.
You cause walls to fall.
You cause walls to fall.
Hey,
with your power.
Creator of the universe,
what can you do? What can you do, Jesus?
Name
above every other name.
Oh,
what can you change?
What can you change?
What can you change, Jesus?
I ask, Lord, that anyone here that is in need of a miracle of supply, of healing, of any answer, let the answer be given now in the name of Jesus. I deliver your miracle, your supply to you now in the name of Jesus. When there was sickness in your body, be healed now in the name of Jesus. When there was lack, let there be supply now. Where you need help, let there be help now. Let there be help now. Let there be help now. In the name of Jesus. Where things have gone wrong, they are fixed up now. Even when you've made a mistake and you've missed out on God's plan for your life, may the mercy of God speak up for you. In the name of Jesus, I bring you to your best season yet. I bring you to your best season yet. Of Jesus, and I pray that God blesses you with patience. He blesses you with patience that you will wait, because I can see as I'm speaking in the spirit that a time is coming and it shall not be long from now that everything you've desired in your heart will soon become a reality in your hands, and that time is here very soon. That time is here even now. In the name of Jesus. And I'm praying for you that this season, that revelation of God's omnipotence will happen to you. That revelation of God's love as we land today will come to you. In the name of Jesus. It's your best season yet. It's your best season yet. And I know Satan will rise against you and your vision, but he has failed already. Because when the enemy came like a flood, the Spirit of God raised up a standard against it. And I stand like God's servant this morning and I raise a standard against every satanic force that is rising against you and your vision. It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. And from here, I already begin to bless your 2023.
It shall be a year of fruitfulness for you. It shall be a year of fruitfulness for you. In the name of Jesus. And I'm hearing from the Lord again, a year of fruitfulness. A year of fruitfulness. A year of fruitfulness. A year of fruitfulness. Whatever that has not borne fruit before will begin to bear fruit in the coming year. You will bear fruit in the coming year. You will bear fruit in your spiritual life. You will bear fruit in your finances. You will bear fruit in your studies. You will bear fruit all around. That as even as the Lord has spoken to us about the year of light, it shall yet be a year of fruitfulness. You will bear fruit in the light. In the name of Jesus, it's your year. You will bear fruit. And even until the year ends, between now and the end of the year, that remaining miracle, you will have it. That remaining testimony, you will have it. That remaining testimony, you will have it. In the name of Jesus. God's hand is upon you. And as we've thought and we've declared, God will keep you safe this season. No harm. No hurts. No shame. No harm. No hurts. No shame. Glory to God. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Were you blessed this morning? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.